Certainly is good to be here with you this morning. It's a beautiful morning for us to be out, to be about in God's creation, and especially for us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and those that want to worship God, as we can come together in this situation. We pray that the things that we do here this morning, the things that will be said, our worship unto Him will be acceptable in His sight. If you are visiting among us, we want you to know that you are a welcome guest. I'd like you to stick around after we get through this morning and get to meet you. For the time that we have to gather this morning, I'd like for us to discuss sin and situations. Sin and situations will be the title of the lesson this morning. You know, sometimes we as human beings can begin to be a little bit smug in our evaluation of others. We can almost get to the point of being conceited in our own wisdom when we can look at an individual and we can observe them for a few moments or maybe even a few days and we will say, I know where that person's going to end up. I know what kind of an individual that person is going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or for the remainder of their life. We have a tendency to see an individual that might come from a, quote, horrible background, and we will say to ourselves, well, that person, they're going to end up in jail. They're going to end up in trouble all the remainder of their life. We can look to many people in our society today, and we see that they come from broken homes. They come from an area and a home where drugs might be very prevalent or violence might be something that is there all the time. And our evaluation of that individual is they're going to turn out the exact same way. They're going to be a product of that environment that they are in. Or we might see an individual that comes from a good home, that has loving parents that will provide for that child, and we will evaluate and say, well, that child's going to end up exactly the same way. They're going to be a product of that environment that they grew up in. And many times I believe our conclusions are right. And our conclusions are that the surroundings produce that person, that he or she is a product of that environment. And we will begin in our reasoning to think to ourselves that, well, if they are surrounded by sin and by evil, then they're going to follow that course in their life. If they are surrounded by good and by righteousness, that also is going to be the course that they are going to follow in their life. In our reasoning, though, we begin to have a tendency to blame the situation that a person is in for the sin that they commit. Certainly, that's the way our society has been. That's the way that we are going now. That a person commits a certain sin or a certain crime, as our society likes to call it, or bad judgment, because of the situation that they were in. If the circumstances would have been different, we are told, then it would be different for them. They would not do those things. And the next step in our reasoning then is to say that, well, they're justified in what they're doing because they really can't help themselves. The situation brought on this lifestyle, the circumstances or the conditions in their life produce that sin in their life, and they really can't help it. If circumstances were different, they would be different. We look to our society, and many times we see that's the kind of thinking that goes on. Every once in a while, there will be an exception to our, quote, wisdom, but we come to expect that. Somebody might come from a bad background, and they'll end up good, or someone come from a good background, and they'll end up bad. But upon closer examination of the kind of wisdom that's found in the world, we find that it really wasn't the situation that a person was in that produced the sin in their life, that caused them to do things against their will. It was something that was much more basic than that. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. that situation over which a person does have control. We want to look at several examples in both the Old and the New Testament of where individuals found themselves in favorable circumstances and what was produced in their life. And we want to look at some who found themselves in an unfavorable environment and the choices that they had to make. And what was it that determined the choices that they did make? Was it the situation that they find themselves in? Was it that they had no control over what they were going to do and they produced sin in their life? Or was it something else? First of all, let's look at some favorable environments in both the Old and the New Testament where people found themselves and the end result of what they did. In Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11 down to verse 14, we find an individual here who had been entitled by most people as the prodigal or the wasteful son. And as we read concerning him, our conclusion would be he came from a pretty good home. Notice what it says there in 15, beginning in verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land and began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. This is a situation that the individual found himself in. Now, we would say concerning this prodigal son that he came from a very good home. Here was this young man who had everything that he needed. Perhaps all that he wanted in life was provided for him by his father. Took care of his needs, took care of his wants. Seemed to be that he also had every advantage of the society of that particular day. That he was not in want for anything. We would think of this individual, the father, and even the son, as being a very good citizen, that they ought to produce in their life those things that were right and those things that were good for them. A loving father, a good home, had money, had servants, had everything that he needed to make a very pleasant life and to do those things that were pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. But yet we find in this young man that there was an independence, that he wanted to be on his own, that he wanted to make his own decisions and his own choices. And with this independence, and we might also say with this stupidity on his part, that it kind of won out over him, and he lost everything. Goes on to say that he sinned in the sight of God, he sinned before his father. There is a good ending to the story, but for a while we find this individual who came from a good background, who was rebellious against God and against his father. In verse 22, we see the good ending. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." The son came back. Son came to himself. Perhaps you and I might know an individual in our lifetime who would fit some situation such as this. And in our wisdom, we would think he's going to be a good boy. He's going to be a good son. Nothing but good is going to come from him. But we find in the case of this individual that had a favorable environment, he made a choice to do wrong. The next individual we want to look at is Solomon. And certainly, when we think of Solomon, we think of an individual that had every advantage of an individual in his day, far beyond all of those that lived during his time. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, and in verses 14 through 23, we see all the things that Solomon did have. Here was a man who was unequaled in his time as far as riches, as far as things that others had. He had everything, even wisdom that God had given unto him. But we see that he was not satisfied with those things. They did not keep him from making mistakes. If there was anyone who enjoyed the blessings of God, certainly it would have been David's son. David was the father of Solomon. Brought him up, taught him, gave him every advantage. Solomon had all of these wonderful things. But in all of these things, he made some bad choices in his life. If anybody in our wisdom was going to turn out good, we would say it would probably be Solomon, because of all the advantages that he had. But we think of also Adam and Eve. Back in Genesis, the second chapter, we can read verses 8 through 10 and verses 15 and 18, and the kind of surroundings that they were in. They had been placed in a garden that had been created by God. It was a perfect home. They had everything that they needed. There was not anything that they had a want for. They were able to walk and talk with God, the creator of heaven and of earth. But we find that even in this wonderful environment that they were in, they made a choice. Do that which was not pleasing in the sight of God. They listened, rather than to the word of God, they listened to the word of Satan. And they were tempted by him, this great enemy of God. We also can think about what Jude had to say in the sixth verse about the angels that were in heaven who were cast out. Now, if there were, and there was, anyone who should have turned out good because of the surroundings that they were in, it would have been the angels who were in the presence of God. Once again, we note concerning them that they sinned. They rebelled in the sight of God in spite of these wonderful surroundings. Now, all of these sinned against God. And we might think to ourselves of some individuals that would fit these surroundings and these environments. We might run through the category of people that we know. And we would say that, yes, that person is like the prodigal son. He has everything. Everything that is needed. And therefore, because of that, he ought to do good in his life. Or Solomon, or Adam, or Eve, and who could beat, really, the surroundings that Adam and Eve had, or that of the angels. Yet with these favorable environments, with these situations that these people found themselves in, they sinned. They did that which was wrong. We look to the Bible and we find certain characters who found themselves really in what we would term as unfavorable environments. And one of those individuals is found in Genesis chapter 37 and verses 23 through 28. We read there concerning Joseph, how that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was an individual that was raised right, but found himself down in Egypt, away from his family, and in a situation where he was a servant, he was a slave. He was tempted by his master's wife, yet he did not yield to that temptation. In chapter 39, and beginning in verses 7 through 9, we find the temptation that came upon Joseph, as he was a slave in Egypt. As he found himself there in Potiphar's house, and tempted by Potiphar's wife. The reasoning of today, the kind of wisdom that we find among people today, is that if there was anyone who had a, quote, right to sin, then it might be Joseph. Look at what happened to him. His brothers hated him so much, he sold him into slavery, sent him off into a foreign land. He didn't know if his father was still alive or still dead, or whether his father had tried to find him. Now he was in slavery. He was one that was oppressed. He was an individual that if he wanted to get ahead, should try to get along with those that were over him. Our thinking is, if anybody had a right to do what was wrong, Joseph did in these unfavorable situations that he was in. But in the case of Joseph, we find that he never faltered in his faith toward God. Toward his obedience to the word of God, he always stood fast, no matter what situation he was in. Here he was, a slave, but he wasn't going to do what the devil wanted him to do and what others might say he had a right to do. We also see Job in the Old Testament, an individual here who suffered many things, the loss of many things in his life. There in Job chapter 1 and verses 1 through 22, we see the kind of an individual that he was. Notice in verses 1 through 5 at the kind of person Job was. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and right and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east. Now his sons would go and feast in their house, each to his own appointed day, and would send and invite the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." Thus Job did regularly. This was the kind of an individual that Job was. Yet we see that he was tempted by Satan. All was taken away from him. Everything that he had, with the exception of his wife, his children, his possessions, his health, all of these things were taken away from him. And once again, in our wisdom today, we might think to ourselves that if anybody had a right to curse God and die, or had a right to do something that was wrong, then it's this man. It's this man, Job. He has suffered so much, and the situation and the environment that he is in would produce that. If situations produced sin, then certainly this would be the one. Job would be justified for sinning. Yet with Job, says there in the first chapter, verse 22, "In all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." He never blamed God. He never said to God, "It's your fault." He never rebelled against God. Once again, unfavorable environment. Yes, Job was in it. But what did he do? He did that which was right. Another individual over in the New Testament, that of Paul. An individual here who, from his conversion, was persecuted time and time and time again for doing good. Not for doing those things that were wrong. Not for committing iniquities against the law of God. He was persecuted and suffered because he did that which was good. There in Acts 14, verse 19, we see that he was stoned and left for dead. Over in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, beginning in verse 22, down through verse 33, we find concerning Paul of all the things that he had to endure for the cause of Christ. Over in Acts 20, beginning in verse 25 through 27, we see some of the things that he had to endure. Yet in spite of all these things, in spite of the suffering that was on every hand, Paul was faithful unto God. Now, once again, if we were to use our human reasoning, that philosophy that is found in the world today that says, you know, situations produce sin, then certainly Paul had a right to do something wrong. He was persecuted. The unfavorable environment that he found himself in. And yet with Paul, as with all of the rest of these individuals, They were faithful. Joseph was faithful unto God. Job, also an individual faithful unto God. Paul, all of these were faithful. When it seemed that the circumstances that surrounded them would have produced a sinful or an evil person, or at least action that was wrong. Now the question we ask is, why? Why is this? Why does Joseph and Job and Paul remain faithful in these situations? And yet we find others such as Solomon and the prodigal son, Adam and Eve, and the angels in heaven who were in good situations, good surroundings. They did that which was wrong. What is the reason? Why is that? What makes one group different from another group as we study these individuals? Well, I believe as we study the Word of God, we arrive at the controlling factor of what made these people do the things that they did. That was their attitude of heart. The attitude that they had toward being faithful unto God. It was not their surroundings. It was not the environment that they found themselves in. This might be the decision of human wisdom that says, well, they found themselves like this, and they were justified in doing the things that they did. If situation would have been different, something else would have been done by them. And we begin to justify people for the things that they do. But it was the attitude of heart that was within that person that brought about the choice that they made. In the case of Joseph, we see that he was an individual. As he, there in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, as he was tempted to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife, he made the statement, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He recognized what he was going to do. He recognized his choice would lead to sin. And his attitude of heart was, I'm not going to sin against God. Same thing with Job. He recognized that in his situation, the attitude of heart that he had was he was not going to blame God. He was not going to find fault with God for putting him in this situation. He knew that he would have sinned against God. In the case of Paul, we also find that he knew that he had to stand before the judgment seat of Christ when this life was over, and that he was going to give an account for that. He was not going to preach the gospel to others and then live in such a way that he himself was going to be a castaway. He realized that it was his choice. His choice to do either right or wrong. It was not the circumstances that he was in that was going to produce the sin in his life. It was the choice that he made. And that is something that each and every one of us must realize. It's not situation. It's not circumstances that produce sin. It's the choice I make as to whether I'm going to do right or I'm going to do wrong. It is my attitude of heart. And there is a rebellious heart. There are those who have this kind of an attitude within them. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verses 19 through 24, we find the prophet Jeremiah speaking there concerning the children of Israel. God speaks to or through the prophet, says that this was the kind of heart that they had. It was a rebellious heart. It was a defiant heart. Verse 23, but this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They did not say in their heart, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good things from you. It was because of their rebellious heart that they were not able to enjoy the blessings of God. We can have this kind of an attitude. We can have a rebellious heart. We can say within ourselves, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody is going to command me. I am independent, and I am going to make up my own mind. I am my own boss. I'm not going to listen to anyone. I'm not even going to listen to God. We can have that kind of a heart. We can, in having that kind of heart, choose those things that we want to do. People rebel against God because they're not willing to give themselves up. They're not willing to surrender their own selfishness unto Him. Just like the prodigal son. Prodigal son wanted to do exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted his living and he wanted to make his own decisions. And in making those decisions and choices, it led to sin. A heart that's filled with pride will not submit unto God's commands. And some people have a rebellious heart. And in so doing, that becomes the controlling factor in the choices that they make. But there is an obedient heart. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18, where he speaks there of being obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine. He says there, "But thanks be to God that you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you are now slaves of righteousness." There is an obedient heart. This is the kind of heart we need to have. And if we have an obedient heart, if that is the thing that controls us, that is the thing that makes our decisions, it won't matter what sort of situation we're in. It won't matter the circumstances in our life. We will be obedient unto God. We will say, "I am going to submit to the will of God, regardless of the hardship it's going to bring me, regardless of the suffering that I might have to endure, I am going to be obedient unto God." This kind of heart knows that there is someone greater than self, someone greater than my own will. And if we have that kind of heart, that is the controlling factor within our life, then our choices are going to be right, regardless of the situation. There is a steadfast heart that is spoken of. Psalms chapter 57 and verse 7 says there that my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. There's a steadfast heart. Not steadfast in doing its own will, but steadfast and fixed in the sense that it is in place and it is going to be obedient unto the Father in heaven. And that kind of heart, regardless of the surroundings, regardless of the situation, no matter how evil, how oppressive, that kind of heart is going to be obedient unto God, not unto its own will. There's a trusting heart also. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. This is the kind of heart, the controlling factor in a person's life, that will have faith in God. Not faith in self. Not faith in someone else. In own decisions and choices that we make, but will have faith and have trust in the God of heaven. And once again, when we have that kind of heart, it makes no difference what situation we're in. It makes no difference the oppression, the surroundings, the people, whatever it might be. If we find ourselves in a situation such as Joseph, when we have a trusting heart, the choice is going to be, "I will obey God." That's the bottom line. Those who are faithful have a good heart, have a good attitude. Those are the ones that have obedient, steadfast, and trusting hearts. Those are the things that become the controlling factor in their life and the decisions that they make. It is not the surroundings that make them sin. Again, that's the way that we begin to think in our society. It's my surroundings that have produced this. And if my surroundings have produced this, then I'm not responsible for what I've done. It's somebody else's fault. But we are responsible. We're responsible for the heart that is within us and for the choices that we make in our life. We hear the argument all the time in our society of that. That it's not my fault. That was the way that I was born. I was born that way, and therefore I'm justified in the things that I do. Or I was brought up that way. Or that's my surroundings or the situation that I am in. We begin to pass off sin as being bad choices or something that we can't help. But we must realize that in the case of sin, in every case of sin, it's a transgression of the law of God, and I choose it. I make the choice of doing right or doing wrong. It's not in the situation whether I can't help it. I make the choice, regardless of the situation that I am in. We would ask, in closing, how is your heart? What kind of heart do you have? How do you react to your environment, your situation, your conditions in life? Do you begin to say that they're overbearing, that I have to do this and I have to do that, that I can't help myself, that the environment, the situation, the conditions that I am in, they cause me to give in? I give in to these things and I do that, which is wrong, but it's not my fault. Somebody else's fault. Perhaps we might even say, as some have said, it's really God's fault. He made me the way that I am. He put me in these situations that I am in. And it's His fault, not mine. One of the things that we have to realize, that is the controlling factor in our life, is the kind of heart that we have. And the heart that we have will determine the choices that we make. And the choices that we make will either be right or they'll be wrong. What kind of heart do you have? Is it one that is rebellious? Is it one that is like the children of Israel of old, who was rebellion and defiant against God? Are you the type of person who says, I'm going to do what I want to regardless of what anybody says, even God? You need to bring that heart under control and make it a faithful, make it an obedient, a steadfast and a trusting heart. One that submits to the will of God. That kind of heart makes the right choices. It keeps away from sin. Keeps away from those things that separate us from God. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, won't you have an obedient heart? Set aside whatever it is that is holding you back. Say to yourself, I'm trusting in God. I'm no longer trusting in myself. No longer trusting in what everybody else has to say. I'm trusting in the Word of God. And I'm making the decision to be His child. That I am going to put Him on in baptism. That I am going to repent or turn from those things that are wrong in my life. That I am ready to confess His name before this audience this morning. This is what God wants you to do. That's what an obedient and a trusting heart will do. Do you have that kind? If you do, a song has been selected. We're going to encourage you to do that which is right. Whatever's stopping you, set it aside because it's not worth it. Whatever it is, think of the things in this life that you could hold on to. It's not worth it if you're going to forfeit your relationship with God. Set it aside. Set that weight aside and be obedient unto God this morning. Won't you do that as we stand and as we sing the song?